أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. أو الله increase us in knowledge. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. أو الله we ask you for beneficial knowledge, for a risk sustenance that is pure, and actions that are acceptable to you. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين يا رب العالمين. Juz 10, Ayah number 41 of Surah Al-Anfal. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ وَلِلرَّسُولِ. And know that when you obtain of war booty, then indeed for Allah is one-fifth of it, and for the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and for his near relatives and the orphans, and the needy and the stranded traveller. If you have believed in Allah and in that which we send down to our servant on the day of criterion, decisive encounter, meaning the day of Badr, the day when the two armies met, and Allah over all things is competent. Before Islam, the spoils of war were not distributed in an orderly manner. In fact, it was a policy of whoever got his hands on whatever the enemy left behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided it in an organized, disciplined manner. One-fifth of it was for Allah and His Messenger, meaning to be spent on the way of Islam, and also for the tribes of Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib, who were the relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore were not eligible for zakah. So they received help in this way. And from the one-fifth, it was divided amongst orphans, the needy, and the stranded traveller. The remaining four-fifths were divided among the soldiers equally. Allah says, remember, when you were on the near side of the valley, and they were on the farther side, and the caravan was lower in position than you. If you had made an appointment to meet, you would have missed the appointment. But it was so that Allah might accomplish a matter already destined, that those who perished through disbelief would perish upon evidence, and those who lived in faith would live upon evidence. And indeed Allah is hearing and knowing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have destroyed the disbelievers, just as He had destroyed the nations before them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make evident to the people living on earth a clear difference, the falsehood being defeated and truth winning. And all of this occurred without an appointment, meaning there was no formal intention to go to war on the sides of the Muslims. And Allah points out that the Muslims wanted to meet up with the caravan, but Allah diverted them so that they would meet the enemy at Badr. Remember, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah showed them to you in your dream as few, and if He had shown them to you as many, you believers would have lost courage and would have disputed in the matter of whether to fight. But Allah saved you from that. Indeed, He is knowing of that within the breasts. That is amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged the believers through a dream, and He prevented them from fighting with each other, from disputing with each other. So Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سَلَّمَ. Allah protected the believers. And then He says, and remember when He showed them to you when you met, as few in your eyes, and He made you appear as few in their eyes, so that Allah might accomplish a matter already destined, and to Allah are all matters returned. Allah even changes our perception. So in the dream, the Prophet, peace be upon him, saw that the disbelievers were small in number, and it encouraged the believers. And on the actual day that they met, when they looked at each other, the believers saw the kuffar army as simply double their own size. Remember, the believers were 313 in number, so they thought that the kuffar were simply 600 in number, but in actuality they were 1,000 in number. And on the side of the enemy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them see the sahaba as smaller than the number they actually were, so that the kuffar became overconfident and careless. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have believed, when you encounter a company from the enemy forces, stand firm and remember Allah much, that you may be successful. So what are the criteria for success when you face the enemy? Number 1. Firmness. Be firm in faith. Be steadfast in your courage. 2. Remember Allah much. During that time, it's a crucial time. Do not forget Allah and continue to do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Refrain from infighting and abstain from pride and arrogance. We see these injunctions in the next ayah. Allah says, وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not dispute, and thus lose courage, and then your strength would depart. And be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. And do not be like those who came forth from their homes insolently, and to be seen by people, and avert them from the way of Allah, and Allah is encompassing of what they do. This is how Muslims need to work together. And these tenets are what is missing today when Muslims work together. Subhanallah, the Quran guides us to every single thing. Allah says, and He guides us, how are you going to overcome? How are you going to be united? How will you get the strength that is needed to accomplish the task as Muslims? First of all, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He will aid true believers who make dua to Him, who are sincere to Him and trust upon Him, even though they might be small in number with very few resources. And then stand firm and do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. In our meetings, when we are speaking to each other, always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when we serve deen or when Muslims work together, it is always for the sake of Allah. So remember Allah all the time. That way, Satan cannot interfere with our tasks. And then Allah says, وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهَ, obey Allah. Follow the commandments of Allah. Follow the protocol that He has taught. And obey His Messenger. The teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, do according to the sunnah, practice according to the sunnah. And then Allah says, do not dispute with each other. Yes, we can have differences of opinion, but we must not dispute. Allah says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Tanaza is to argue with each other, to oppose each other. Do not do that. We must stand firm, even though we might have differences of opinions with each other. Work out a compromise. Do not defame each other. Do not talk about each other behind their backs. That is a major sin. And at the end of the day, follow the leader. The Prophet, peace be upon him, has told us, if there are three of you traveling together or doing anything, make one of them your leader. It is very important for unity and it is very important for discipline. And at the end of the day, if your opinions are not heard, it does not mean that this is an insult. When people are arrogant, they want their opinion to be followed and they will not tolerate any other way to be adopted. This is sheer self-interest and this is arrogance. We must be humble. It is possible that your idea might be the best, but if everybody agrees and the leader agrees to follow another route, then go ahead, follow that route and help them sincerely to the best of your ability and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for victory. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for victory in the task that we are all working toward. Because Allah clearly tells us, if you fight with each other, you will lose courage. Our strength departs. And today, Muslims are fighting each other. We are becoming weaker. We think we're becoming stronger by making our own stand, but we are not. In fact, Muslims are becoming weaker, and we are weakening the spread of Islam because of that. May Allah forgive us and prevent us from doing that. Allah says, your strength will depart. And then He says, be patient. Be patient, be steadfast. Compromise, be tolerant toward each other. Be forgiving toward each other. We are so forgiving and tolerant to people who are not of our faith. But what about each other? I believe we are sometimes hardest and most critical of Muslims, of each other. Subhanallah, we have to cover each other's faults. We need to look away. Only if someone is perpetrating a pure evil, truly evil, then we must talk to them and try to stop them. But we must not scandalize people and talk about people behind their backs, defame others. Allah says, be patient, work together. Be careful, have taqwa of Allah, because if your goal and my goal is purely for the sake of Allah and not for self-importance, then we will be humble and we will compromise with other believers. Allah says, do not be like those who came forth from their homes insolently. The kuffar came out on the battle of Badr with their women and singing girls. They just wanted to show off their strength. Allah says, a believer does not work like this. A believer has dignity. A mu'min is humble, easygoing, tolerant, pleasant to deal with. Allah forbids us to embark on any task for the sake of Allah with pomp and show. Allah clearly distinguishes the behavior of believers, mu'mineen, to be different from those of kuffar, disbelievers. Allah says, and remember when Satan made their deeds pleasing to them and said, no one can overcome you today from the people, and indeed I am your protector. So Satan inspired the disbelievers. But when the two armies sighted each other, he turned on his heels and said, indeed, I am disassociated from you. Indeed, I see what you do not see. Indeed, I fear Allah, and Allah is severe in penalty. Subhanallah, what a liar Shaitan is. What a liar. He abandoned his army, and he saw the angels coming. He saw what no one else could see. And what was the excuse he gave? Indeed, I fear Allah, and Allah is severe in penalty. Subhanallah, he said this to dishearten the disbelievers so that they would also earn hellfire. Remember, his whole goal is not to have one army defeat another army. All he wants is to take the maximum number of people into hellfire with him. And if he truly feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not do what he is doing. Remember when the hypocrites and those in whose hearts was a disease, meaning of arrogance and disbelief, said, their religion has deluded those Muslims, but whoever relies upon Allah, then indeed Allah is exalted in might. In the two Sahihs, Bukhari and Muslim, it is recorded that Abdullah bin Abi Awfa said that during one battle, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam waited until the sun declined, then stood among the people and said, O people, do not wish to face the enemy in a battle and ask Allah to save you from calamities, but if you should face the enemy, then be patient and let it be known to you that paradise is under the shadow of swords. He then stood and said, O Allah, revealer of the holy book, mover of the clouds, and defeater of the confederates, the armies, defeat them and grant us victory over them. So the Muslims prevailed, the Sahaba prevailed, and in their courage and obedience to Allah and His Messenger, the companions reached a level never seen before by any nation or generation before them or any nation that will ever come. Through the blessing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their obedience to what he commanded, the companions were able to open the hearts as well as the various eastern and western parts of the world in a very short time. This occurred even though they were few compared to the armies of the various nations at that time. For example, the Romans, Persians, Turks, Slavs, Berbers, Ethiopians, Sudanese tribes, Copts, and the rest of the children of Adam. They defeated all of these nations until Allah's word became the highest and His religion became dominant over all religions. The Islamic nation spread over the eastern and western parts of the world in less than 30 years. May Allah grant them His pleasure as well as be pleased with them all, and may He gather us among them, for He is the most generous and giving. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah then says, and if you could but see when the angels take the souls of those who disbelieved, They are striking their faces and their backs and saying, Taste the punishment of the burning fire. That is for what your hands have put forth of evil, and because Allah is not ever unjust to His servants. Theirs is like the custom of the people of Pharaoh and of those before them. They disbelieved in the signs of Allah, so Allah sees them for their sins. Indeed, Allah is powerful and severe in penalty. Inna Allaha qawiyun shadidul iqab. That is because Allah would not change a favor which He had bestowed upon a people until they change what is within themselves. And indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing. What does this mean? It means that a favor or bounty or blessing that Allah has bestowed upon a community or a group of people or an individual will remain with them until they themselves cause it to be taken away from them by their own actions, by our own actions. Whether as an individual or a community, we become the cause of taking away the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says that He will never change it until people change what is within themselves. And indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing, and He knows. He knows all the time when we change. He knows, He's deeply aware of what is in our hearts and minds. Allah says about the kuffar, theirs is like the custom of the people of Pharaoh and of those before them. They denied the signs of their Lord, so we destroyed them for their sins, and we drowned the people of Pharaoh, and all of them were wrongdoers. Indeed, the worst of living creatures in the sight of Allah are those who have disbelieved, and they will not ever believe. The ones with whom you made a treaty, but then they break their pledge every time, and they do not fear Allah. The hypocrites and the Jews had broken the treaty that was ratified when the Prophet, peace be upon him, came to Medina, that they would accept him as their leader and they would help each other if Medina was ever attacked. But the hypocrites actually sent weapons to the Quraysh. They made a new pact and broke it again. They did not fear Allah at all. Allah says they are the worst of creatures in His eyes. So if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gain dominance over them in war, disperse by means of them those behind them, that perhaps they will be reminded. To disperse them, meaning to kill them, and make an example of them to discourage those who follow them. Allah says, if you have reason to fear from a people betrayal, throw their treaty back to them, putting you on equal terms. Indeed, Allah does not like traitors. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ. So Allah says, when you see signs of treachery from those with whom you have made a treaty, announce to them its dissolution, so that they will know exactly where they stand. And let not those who disbelieve think that they will escape. Indeed, they will not cause failures to Allah. And prepare against them whatever you are able of power and steeds of war, by which you may terrify the enemy of Allah and your enemy and others besides them whom you do not know, but whom Allah knows, the secret enemies. And whatever you spend in the cause of Allah will be fully repaid to you, and you will not be wronged. The effort in the path of Islam requires wealth. It requires donations. It requires sadaqah, charity. And this is the best kind of money that a person can spend. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to ask for donations. And the Sahaba considered it a blessing that he had asked, because it gave them an opportunity to earn good for Akhirah. It is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask for charity, to ask for donations to be spent in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the Sunnah of the Sahaba to leap to it. It was their sunnah to be happy and elated that they were given this opportunity. Alhamdulillah. Allah says, and if they incline to peace, then incline to it also, and rely upon Allah. Indeed, it is He who is the hearing, the knowing. What beautiful protocol, what amazing manners. Allah says, work for peace. War is only allowed so that the end result is going to be peace. For many nations, that is simply lip service. But in Islam, it is truly that case, because Allah says Himself that if they incline to peace, then incline to it also and rely upon Allah. Indeed, it is He who is the hearing and the knowing. But if they intend to deceive you, then sufficient for you is Allah, meaning that if they hold out a hand for peace, but they actually do not intend it, then Allah says, rely on Him, He will take care of it. It is He who supported you with His help and with the believers and brought together their hearts. Allah brings the hearts of believers together. When Allah wants a task accomplished, He brings our hearts together so we cooperate with each other, we sacrifice for each other, and we love each other and help each other. That is also blessing from Allah alone. Allah says, if you had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have brought their hearts together. But Allah brought them together. Indeed, He is exalted in might and wise. So when we are working together again as a group for any task, if Muslims are working together and we're facing difficulties and issues amongst ourselves, we must do istighfar. Seek forgiveness from Allah. Recognize that Allah is not bringing our hearts together. That means somewhere there is a problem. There's a problem with someone, with an intention, or some sin that we have committed. Sit down together and ask istighfar. Seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and ask Him for His help. Allah says, O Prophet, sufficient for you is Allah and for whoever follows you of the believers. Allah is sufficient for all the believers who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Allah helps from the unseen. Allah helps from His power. We can tap into the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our iman and with our taqwa and with our humility. Allah offers us this. Allah offers His power to us over and over again in the Quran, in Islam, for the true believers. But do we really avail it? We have to deserve His power. We have to deserve His help. So we have to change ourselves so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us again. Ya ayyuhan nabi, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, urge the believers to battle. If there are among you 20 who are steadfast, they will overcome 200. And if there are among you 100 who are steadfast, they will overcome 1,000 of those who have disbelieved, because they are a people who do not understand. The ratio here is 1:10. Allah says that each one of you can overcome 10 of the kuffar. Why? Because He says they have no understanding. It is not surely because the Sahaba were more well-equipped and stronger. They were stronger because of their iman, not because they had any resources. In fact, it was a very beleaguered army that faced the kuffar on the Battle of Badr. Aql, understanding. Fiqh, Allah says, they are a nation who do not understand. Yafqahoon, they do not understand the reality of things. When someone understands the reality of things, it gives them immense internal strength. Now, the Sahaba would take everything in the Quran literally. That was the most amazing part. They would simply accept it. But this difference in ratio, it intimidated them, even them. So Allah sent down a reprieve in the next ayah. Allah says, now Allah has lightened the hardship for you, and He knows that among you is weakness. So if there are from you 100 who are steadfast, they will overcome 200. And if there are among you 1,000, they will overcome 2,000 by permission of Allah, and Allah is with the steadfast. Do not lose heart. Allah says, Wallahu ma'as-sabirin. And it is not for a prophet to have captives of war until he inflicts a massacre upon Allah's enemies in the land. You, meaning some Muslims, desire the commodities of this world, but Allah desires for you the hereafter, and Allah is exalted in might and wise. The Prophet, peace be upon him, had asked the people for their opinion about the prisoners of war of Badr, saying, Allah has made you prevail above them. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu stood up and said, O Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kill them, cut off their necks. But the Prophet turned away from him. The Messenger of Allah asked again, O people, Allah has made you prevail over them, and only yesterday they were your brothers. Umar again stood up and said the same as he had before. The Prophet, peace be upon him, ignored him and asked him the same question, asked all of them the same question again, and he repeated the same answer. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu stood up and said, O Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think you should pardon them and set them free in return for ransom. Thereupon the grief on the face of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam vanished. He pardoned them and accepted ransom for their release. Allah the Exalted revealed this verse. Were it not a previous ordainment from Allah, a severe torment would have touched you for what you took. Meaning that Allah would have preferred the solution offered by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, but he accepted the decision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah then says, so consume what you have taken of war booty as being lawful and good, and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. So now that the war spoils, the spoils of war were halal, the Muslims felt uneasy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them that it is lawful and it is good, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O Prophet, say to whoever is in your hands of the captives, if Allah knows any good in your hearts, He will give you something better than what was taken from you, and He will forgive you, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. But if they intend to betray you, then they have already betrayed Allah before, and He empowered you over them, and Allah is knowing and wise. How did the prisoners of war at Badr earn their freedom? Some of them paid off money as a ransom because their families could afford it. The others who could not do that were told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach the Muslim children, the Muslim families, to read and to write, those of them who could. And once they had done that, they were actually set free. Some of them accepted Islam later because of the excellent behavior of the Muslims, the way they treated them, despite the fact that they were prisoners of war. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Allah says, indeed those who have believed and emigrated and fought with their wealth and lives in the cause of Allah, and those who gave shelter and aided. So the people who emigrated were the muhajirin, the ones who did hijrah and moved from Makkah to Medina because of their religion to safeguard their deen, and the Ansar, who were the helpers, the people who lived in Medina and welcomed the muhajirin there, gave them shelter and aided them. Allah says they are allies of one another, awliya. But those who believed and did not emigrate for you, there is no guardianship of them until they emigrate. And if they seek help of you for the religion, then you must help, except against a people between yourselves and whom is a treaty, and Allah is seeing what you do. This ayah addresses Muslims living in different nations. So the people who were living, the Muslims who were living in Makkah, were living in a non-Muslim country, state, so to speak. And the people who were living in Medina were now living in a Muslim country, Muslim nation. So Allah says, if Muslims living in a non-Muslim nation seek your help in their religion, help them in their religion, help them with their deen. You must help. However, if you have a treaty with that non-Muslim nation, then you cannot do that. Meaning a treaty to stay away. Treaties in the eyes of Allah supersede everything else. And a believer is known by the fact that he or she upholds a treaty, no matter how difficult, and never betrays it. So how did the Ansar, the ones who lived in Medina, help the Muhajirin? By giving up half of their properties. That was unbelievable. These bonds were bonds of brotherhood in Islam. So when people migrated from Makkah to Medina, the people, the Muslims living in Medina, gave up half of their property to them, included them in their businesses, made them their inheritors. This action was unprecedented. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. And those who disbelieved are allies of one another. And if you do not do so, meaning align yourself with other believers, there will be corruption, fitna, meaning disbelief, oppression on earth, and great corruption. But those who have believed and emigrated and fought in the cause of Allah, and those who gave shelter and aided, it is they who are the believers truly. For them is forgiveness and noble provision. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا مَعَكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْكُمْ. So what about us? What about the Muslims who came later, who did not emigrate, who were not of the Ansar, the helpers in Medina? Allah says, and those who believed after the initial emigration and emigrated and fought with you, they are of you, meaning they came later. But those of blood relationship are more entitled to inheritance in the decree of Allah. Indeed, Allah is knowing of all things. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made blood relatives more important than the relationship of brotherhood between the Muhajireen and the Ansar, those who emigrated and the helpers. But then what about us? There's no more hijrah, so what do we do? There is a narration by Ibn Abbas in Sahih Bukhari in which Allah's Apostle sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, there is no hijrah, migration, meaning from Mecca to Medina after the conquest of Mecca, but jihad, struggle, and good intention remain. And if you are called by the Muslim ruler for fighting, go forth immediately. But if one cannot do that, what next? Abdullah ibn Amr reported, a man asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which emigration is best? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to emigrate from that which Allah disapproves. Emigration is of two kinds. Hijrah is of two kinds. The hijrah of the resident and the Bedouin. As for the emigration of the Bedouin, he responds when he is called and he obeys when he is commanded. As for the emigration of the resident, its trial is more severe and its reward is greater. So what is the best hijrah? أَنْ تَهْجُرَ مَا كَرِهَ رَبُّكَ. That you leave, do hijrah from what Allah dislikes. Not just what Allah has forbidden, but to give up sin and also what Allah dislikes. That is the best hijrah. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, this completes Surat Al-Anfal.